Now, Shane Ross, former government minister, journalist and author, has written a book about RTE, Sinners, Saints and Scholars. I spoke to him about all of the controversies over the last while. First, asked him why and for how long he'd been looking at RTE as an organisation.
Yeah, well, Gerry, I'd always wondered when I was a full-time journalist about RTE, and I'd asked them some questions over the years and always got very fuzzy replies, which interested me in them as a body which champions transparency and accountability, but wasn't good at doing it themselves, and they never gave any good responses. So I was looking at them actually before the Tunbridge scandal broke, and then of course when it broke, I decided right, this is a story worth telling in two parts. One, in a general part about the history of its secrecy and lack of transparency. And two, of course, in the immediate scandal as it broke.
How much of that transparency is tied to it? Look, it's become the public focus. And again, most recently with the Derek Mooney saga, The list of the pay for presenters. This is a persistent issue that goes back to the time of Gay Byrne in terms of how much, you couldn't find out how much Gay Byrne was paid back in the day. Is that right?
Oh, it was worse than that. Not only could you as a punter or me as a journalist or you as a journalist find out, the board itself actually wasn't told how much Gay Byrne was paid. The director general knew, and I think that's all. And the chairman, I met the chairman, John Sorahan, who was there just before he died about 2 years ago. And I talked to him about Gay Byrne's salary and what it was. And he said, look, it had to be kept a secret for commercial reasons. But he said if Gay Byrne had looked for more, he would have got more. And at that time, he was getting about 500,000. So you're right. It goes way back to there. That's the 80s and the 90s. And it's carried on until today. And it's probably still going on today. It's a constant theme. Secrecy. Don't tell the public anything that they don't extract from you, which, of course, it's very damaging to an organisation which is so much in favour of transparency and others.
And particularly a semi-state organisation.
Of course.
It's taxpayers' money.
Yeah, that's the argument. The argument is the taxpayer is entitled to know because it provides so much money to the organisation. And, of course, when the figures were released, they were either doctored, as they were in some cases, or they were much higher than the public expected, so they were pretty shocking. So it was a real hidden secret, and it's now out in the open, I think.
Okay, from that, and you write in the book about the public faces of RTE, the image the general public have of RTE. It's the image of their presenters, be it the Gay Byrnes, the Marion Finucanes, Joe Duffys, the Ryan Tubridge, Pat Kennys, Claire Byrnes. That they're what people think of because they're on our TV screens. They're who we hear on our radios and have done for decades. But there's a much larger organisation there, obviously, with staff we never see or hear from, with people at the coalface who work very hard, with a lot of very good people in RTE. But perhaps maybe have we learned there have been issues with the leadership of it?
Oh, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, the people we see, as you say, the front, the faces of RTE are people to a large extent who we trust. We believe the presenters. They're good presenters. They're good people, and they're into public service broadcasting. Most of them, they may be a bit greedy, and they may be overpaid. They may not be, but they're good professional people. Behind that shop window, which I call it, there, of course, are a large number of people. 1,800 approximately working there, some of whom are ordinary underpaid workers, not very well paid at all, and whose pay compared to the celebrities is absolutely minor. But also, there's a very well-paid establishment there whose faces we rarely see and whose names we don't know, who are running the organisation. And this is really the function of the book, is to take the bonnet, which is the celebrities, out of the equation to some extent, although we talk about their pay at length, which is organised, and look at what's happening behind the scenes in RT. Who are the board? Can you name any members of the board? Can I name any members of the board? Can any members of the public name any members of the board? Probably not. They might know the name of the director general, although they hide a lot. But who are the board? Who are the people who are really pulling the strings in RT? And that's what we're looking at in the book, and where the scandals unveil, which were not known before.
What about the interaction of the political establishment and RT down through the years, Shane?
That
interaction, now it's seen through the prism of, you know, fairly tough Public Accounts Committee and Media Committee Oireachtas hearings. But down through the years, there was always a friction there, wasn't there? Understandably, I suppose.
There was always a friction. I mean, where politics crossed with broadcasting, there was always a friction. Mainly because the board, who were initially at least the powerhouse, was always politically appointed. And it was pretty scandalously politically appointed to start with, pretty nakedly appointed by both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and Labour, who appointed their nominees, who tended to be very politically committed people, sometimes members of the party. And of course, then there was inevitably the clash between politicians, who then wanted to control the editorial, and the board, who were appointed, and the board had to decide, do we go with the politicians or do we go with this is the public interest? And that culminated way back under Gerry Collins in 1972, when politics and RT clashed really, really blatantly, and Gerry Collins actually sacked the entire board. Now, that's never happened since, but that was the kind of high point of the collision between the two interests.
Yeah. Shane, it comes to the examination, and it is, I know, linked to the pay of the stars, if we can call it that, and we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But the role of the executive, let's say in recent years, this is still all being played out. I don't think we'll ever get answers from some of the people who were involved because they can't be questioned because of illness. But that there was an idea, you put forward the idea that the license fee, there was a drive to increase the license fee from the executive's point of view, that they, to put it right, they bet the house on getting an increase in the license fee. How big of an issue was that? And how big of an issue then was it when it didn't come for RT's finances?
Funding is the crux issue in the tension between the board or the controllers of RT and the government. And that tension was I informally, I can tell you, when I was in cabinet, very often members of the cabinet would say to you, not very often, but from time to time, off cabinet, you know, on the fringes, they'd say, did you see what those fellas in RT at prime time or something said about us last night? And you'd say, yeah, we did. And you get used to it, you know, it's constant. And it didn't bother me very much. But I'd say, yeah. And they say, well, if they think they're getting an increase in the license fee after that sort of thing, they can forget it, right? And what they mean by that is, Jesus Christ, you know, it's two against one every time we get hammered, and now they're looking for money. And that was an appalling attitude. But it was, you see, there's been no increase in the license fee since 2008. So RT has some case there because they were relying on the license fee and of some sort of increase in it. They haven't had an increase now for nearly 20 years. So that has been part of the funding problem. But the funding problem has been basic to the whole RTE crisis, which has existed for a long time, because they've never had any certainty about how much money they're getting every year until recently, at least, you know.
Isn't it amazing then? And I know you talk about this in the book as well, the fear that the RTE board maybe, but the executive certainly would have had about stars walking away or stars leaving, given the financial pressures they were under, the amounts of money that were paid and like the agents going, or the agent, shall we call him, in terms of Noel Kelly, who represented a lot of these stars going in to negotiate, that was held over. But the management seemed to always buckle when it came to that, for want of a better phrase, instead of saying, okay, if you want to leave, leave. There seems to be, and it's just funny that an organisation with so much financial pressure that needs to cut its cloth never seemed to be able to apply that to star salaries. Now, the agent's entitled. Noel Kelly was entitled to go in and ask and fight as hard as he could. The people he represented were entitled to go in and say, look, I want to pay what I'm valued. But it's, it seemed to be all one-way traffic. Was that one of the big fall downs of the RTE management over the previous recent decades? I
mean, they were burnt by, you know, kind of Eamon Andrews, Terry Wogan, all those people in the shallows. They were worried that all the stars from RTE would start piling over to the UK and get bigger money. But they never actually called anybody's bluff. I mean, gay was the big fear. And there's lots about gay in the book that people don't know about, which I hope they'll read, but I better not tell you about it or they won't read it. But but gay was the classic. Gay went bankrupt, as you know, I'm sure you, and
yeah.
And then he looked for more money. Soran told me, as I said, that when he looked for more money, he got more money. And it was because he would have got more money abroad. So they were quite blatant about that. But that fear was probably unjustified because Gay wasn't going to go abroad because he, as he admitted himself in his own autobiography, he wanted to stay. He was offered a lot of money by the United States at one stage, or so he said, and he let the board know. Fred O'Donovan, who was his pal, who was chair of the board, said, no, we can't let you. We can't possibly let you go. We better give you more money. But they'd always lived under this probably false belief that these guys were going to go away. I mean, Pat Kenny got huge sums and others got very, very large sums.
And Shane, they also allowed a situation which, even from a strategic management point of view, where one agent got to represent so many people that they depended on, the power dynamic was all wrong, that they should have maybe done something about that as well, or maybe even called the bluff to make sure that every negotiation didn't go the same way, but they never did.
You're absolutely right. Noel Kelly, very, very astutely, to put it like that, managed to kind of round up an awful lot of the big stars. Mm. And so when he went in to negotiate for one of them, he was basically, and I'm sure it was silent. I've never seen it actually in writing, or I've never heard anybody say it, saying, look, if you don't give X more money, I've got my hands on 5 or 6 out of the 10 of the top 10. We'll all come out. Now, I don't believe he ever even had to say that, but there was the fear there.
It wasn't a healthy situation for the management to be in.
Very unhealthy. And I suppose they couldn't have refused to negotiate with agents. Mm. But the fact that they were against, you know, the agent represent all the top people, put them in an incredibly weak situation.
There you go. That's Shane Ross on his book, RTE, Saints, Scholars and Scandals, a look at the television station going back to 1961. Saints, Scholars and Scandals available now. Interesting view, especially given the timing of it, with regards to the ongoing controversy and the regular appearances of RTE bosses in terms of finances and payments and who's in the top 10 list and is it accurate or not. If you have a view on that, we'd love to hear from you on the programme this morning.